And so with our Lord Jesus, he was tempted in all points, but he was tempted, yea, more forcefully, because he was the Son of God in the flesh. Now, let us apply this to our own situation. It says here that he is an high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, our Lord Jesus was not infirmed, but we are. And because he was tempted in all points, he can succor us. He can aid us in our infirmities.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today we're looking at the sympathy of our Lord Jesus, the one who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And because he was tempted, he is able to succor, aid, support those who are troubled. We'll have our hymn today as Pants the Deer, but firstly we have the story of Granville Sharp, the friend of slaves. On a May morning in the year 1772, Mr. Granville Sharp, one of the noble band who 100 years ago labored in the British Parliament for the abolition of Negro slavery in the West Indies, met in the suburbs of London a Negro boy with his head bound with a bloody handkerchief. In answer to his questions, the boy told him it was Massa did it, and that he had been begging in the streets since he ran away, being quite friendless. After his wounds were cured in a hospital, Mr. Sharp took him to his own house and wrote to tell his master who he was. The merchant, to whom he had been sent as a present from Jamaica, claimed the boy as his property, but on the case going to trial, the glorious verdict was given that he was free as soon as he had set foot in England. Not many days after, while all London was ringing with this glad news for the slaves, a lady was sitting at her window overlooking the Thames, when she heard a boat hurrying toward the West India docks, and heard a piercing cry and the name of Granville Sharp. Granville Sharp! Loudly shrieked as the boat swept past her window. She said at once to herself, this must be a Negro they are taking back to the West Indies, since they cannot now keep him as a slave here. So she went off and got authority to search every vessel in those docks. After searching for some hours, a young Negro was found hid under an empty barrel, his hands and feet tied together, and his mouth bandaged that he might not cry Granville Sharp's name any more. He was instantly unbound and went free. Mr. Sharp had made himself a name as the friend of slaves, and he well deserved it. What he did for one slave showed what he would do for them all. And Jesus Christ has made himself a name as the Redeemer and friend of sinners. He has been saving sinners for thousands of years, and he never has refused one. Slaveholders were very angry at this friend of slaves, but slaves loved his name and was the name in their ears. That poor Negro's faith in Granville Sharp's friendship was not mistaken, though neither he nor any friend of his might have been near to hear his cry and help him. But Jesus is more than willing to save us. He is a present help, able to save to the uttermost. The Lord is nigh all them that call upon him. He also will hear their cry and save them. That's the promise of the Bible. It's the promise of the gospel that the Lord Jesus hears the cries of his people. And today that really is the theme of our message, Christ's sympathy to those who are in trouble. Now we have Boaz Boone to sing as Pants the Deer. I trust you'll stay tuned with us through the message today as we let the Bible speak.
As pants the hart for growing streams, when heated in the chase, so longs my soul
when I first visited Beulah's home, if I may look back all those years, her mom and dad had a picture in the family room. I forget the picture, but I remember the text. And it was 1 John 5:7. It was casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you have a text like that in your home? Maybe you do. They're very common. Great text to have. What a presence, what a light to shine in any home. But I fear that though it's true that many Christians carry burdens and cares and don't take them to the Lord as they ought, that's a tragedy. That's a sad thing. And let me tell you, it does not bring any honor to the Lord. Some people say, well, I'm not going to disturb the Lord with my petty issues. Let me tell you, he is grieved when you try to carry the burden alone. Because he came into this world to be the sin bearer and the burden bearer. He invites you to take his yoke and to learn of him. He desires to enter into your needs. And of course, the school of life is for the Christian is really about learning to lean on the Lord. And the more we do so, the more comfort and grace we enjoy from his wonderful presence. Now, I think that the sermon could nearly be over here today. I think that we have come to the crux of the issue, if we could only submit to it. And it really comes down to your prayer life and mine. How do you pray? First of all, let me ask you, do you pray? Then how do you pray? Sometimes our prayer life is so fast, rapid, and shallow that it is a repetition of normal things, but really no unburdening of the heart. Our praying should be to the point where we enter in. We're told to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that boldly need means plainness of speech. It means to come with a desperate and with an earnestness that really cries out to the Lord. And here I feel is the root of a lot of pastoral problems that people have. I don't feel close to the Lord. I feel maybe the Lord has abandoned me. I feel there's no benefit in being a Christian. I'm not going to give up my profession of salvation. A real Christian would never do that. But what benefit is there in being a Christian? These were the issues that Paul was addressing with these Hebrew Christians. They were going through deep, deep troubles. And perhaps you are going through, or have gone through, or are yet to go through, deep waters. And you wonder, how can I turn this to glorify the Lord and to a benefit in my Christian life? Now, another issue I want to look at here in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, that he is our sympathizer, for he was tempted in every way possible. Our Lord Jesus himself was tempted in every way possible. Now, the proof that the apostle provides for this truth is that he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And that's the truth that he's getting over. And that's the truth. Now the proof of it is, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, our Lord Jesus did not come into the world and walk on the safe side of the road. He was not born into a royal palace where he was spared from the muck. He didn't come to be spared the swear words and the cursings and the blasphemies of men. No, so often our Lord, he found this world to be a Sodom. He found this world to be a very cesspool of sin. He was a man dwelling among men of unclean lips. He was in the midst of sin, but yet we are told that he was apart from sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Now, our Lord Jesus was God and man. He was the complex unipersonality of the God-man. But that did not spare him from real, powerful, forceful temptation. Indeed, it would be true to say the holier the person, the greater the temptation. Have you found that? The more you strive for holiness, the stronger the devil's attacks. Well, I can assure you that our Lord Jesus felt that 1,000 times more, because he was the focus of attack. Being the Savior of the world, it was the devil's interest to bring him down. Think of Joseph in Potiphar's house. What attacks he was under. But he resisted and fled. Now, if it had been an immoral man, if Joseph had been a fornicator and a lecherous, immoral person, how quickly he would have surrendered to the lustful temptations of that wicked wife. But Joseph, being strong, being indwelt by the Spirit, and having no desire to sin against God, he said, "Shall I sin against God?" It took much more that would bring him down. And so with our Lord Jesus, he was tempted in all points, but he was tempted, yea, more forcefully, because he was the Son of God in the flesh. Now, let us apply this to our own situation. It says here that he is an high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, our Lord Jesus was not infirmed, but we are. And because he was tempted in all points, he can succor us, he can aid us in our infirmities. Now, it doesn't say sins, it says infirmities. I want to read to you what Mr. Spurgeon made of this. He said, note well that word infirmities. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities. If it had only said sorrows, there would have been a sound of the sublime about it. But he stoops to infirmities. He is not only touched with the feeling of the heroic endurance of the martyrs, but he sympathizes with those of you who are no heroes, but can only plead that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Infirmities refers to all our weaknesses, our inabilities. And what a list we could make of those. What a list we can put under the heading of infirmities. Our sadness. Do you have sad days? Days when there's just a gloom all around you and in you, and you can't dispel it, and you can't explain it. Everything else can be going so well, but in that day that you should be happy, you're sad. The Lord Jesus can enter in and succor in our sadness, our bereavements, and there is no sorrow like bereavement, the loss of loved ones torn away from this side of eternity. The Lord comes. He can help us in our infirmities. Our prayerlessness. Christian, do you find it hard to pray? Do you feel that your soul is drying up? He helps this infirmity too. Our fears. Some are given to awful worry, terrible worry. That's why the Lord calls us sheep, because sheep worry. They're always afraid. And of course, sheep are defenseless, and we are a prey to many things that are beyond our control in this world, and therefore we're often filled with fear. And that fear can paralyze us, hinder us, but the Lord helps our fears, our defeats. And let me tell you, sometimes in the Christian life, when you have been defeated and you've sinned and done wrong and you've made a mess of things, it's a tough thing to get back up and get into the place of blessing. And that's when our great high priest succors, aids, and helps. He comes to our aid. I come now to our sins, because this is what our Lord Jesus specializes in. It's like, you know, calling in the professional to do something in your home or your business, and you ask them, well, how are you going to do this? Leave it to us. This is what we do. And likewise, the Lord Jesus, this is what he specializes in, the sins of the human heart. You'll notice that the application in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Mercy. As Christians, we don't plead our rights. We don't plead our deserts. We don't plead justice. We come helpless and bankrupt, and we plead mercy, favor that we don't even deserve. And as our great high priest, with his heart filled with love and sympathy toward us, he delights to bestow mercy and obtain grace, obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. How often the Lord has done that. He said to the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. He forgave her sin, but he also empowered her to overcome it. When our Lord Jesus was amongst the Pharisees, they criticized and said, this man receiveth sinners. That was true, but that is the nature of our Lord Jesus. He receiveth sinners. And my friend, if you feel your sin today, I have the perfect Savior for you. He is a great high priest, great in his sympathy, great in his understanding of your needs, great in coming alongside and putting his arm around you and receiving you, not to drive you away. When our Lord was criticized by those Pharisees, he told a three-part parable, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And you remember how the sheep was brought back? The shepherd found the sheep, he put it upon his shoulders, and he carried it home. What a picture, what a scene of the great shepherd, the sympathizing shepherd. That's the Savior you need today. Not one who will look into your hearts and pronounce you damned. The Bible says you're condemned already, your sins pronounce that. But Christ came not to destroy, but to seek and to save. And he will come and save your soul. Because he was tempted in all points like as you are. There's not a sin. There's not a burden. The Lord doesn't know the power of it. The Lord doesn't know the awful power of it. And he comes alongside and he says, I know. I've been there. And I sympathize. And I invite you to come take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I said earlier the sermon was over, but there's something I must clear up. And that is that Christ is our sympathizer because he triumphed over every form of temptation. It would be a dangerous thing to leave it and say that he entered into all the temptation that we had, and not to clarify this. And you'll notice in verse 15 that the apostle makes this absolutely clear. He adds a clause at the end, yet without sin. In all the temptation our Lord endured, when all hell was unleashed against him, seeking to bring him down, the Lord did not sin. He was sinless through it all. Indeed, we know that our Lord Jesus was not only able not to sin, but he was not able to sin. This is the doctrine of his impeccability. It was impossible for the Son of God in human flesh to sin and fall prey to transgression. Because when the tempter comes to us, we are always tempted from without and within, because we're sinful, we're human. And even though you're now a Christian, even though you're now saved, there is still within us the old nature that responds to sin. Our Lord Jesus never had such a battle. He was never tempted from within, always tempted from without. And in John chapter 14, 30, our Lord said, herein I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and findeth nothing in me. Satan could find nothing in the heart of the Lord to respond to the sparks of his temptation. Our Lord Jesus was sin-free, sinless. He had none of the Adamic nature in his person. But depraved men, when we are tempted, there is in us that so readily responds to temptation. Now, how could you find peace in your heart if you knew that while on earth your Lord was defeated? How could you go to him as your great high priest, your comforter, in your time of struggle, your burden, and your need? Well, it would drive you to despair. It would say, how can I pray to one when he was tempted, fell prey to the wicked advances of Satan himself? Now, we know our Lord Jesus was mightily attacked in Matthew 4 in the wilderness. Satan came, and in various ways, he tried the pride trap, the popularity trap, and the worship trap, that all would worship him. But our Lord Jesus said, Satan, get away. And he quoted the scriptures, and he conquered Satan in the wilderness. Again in the Garden of Gethsemane, when our Lord was in the crucible, and our Lord sweat great drops of blood as he battled against the power of sin. And of course, the closer our Lord Jesus got to Calvary, the greater the assaults of the wicked one to destroy him before he went to the cross. But our Lord Jesus triumphed. The Father sent an angel strengthening him, and he was an overcomer. Now, I say all of this to build your confidence that the Lord Jesus is indeed a great high priest. You have every reason to put your trust and your heart and your confidence in him today. That's why you can come with boldness. There should be no reticence, no holding back, no thought, well, maybe, but if. No, the Lord was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, apart from sin. And there we may come and we may plead entrance into the Lord. And so he can be trusted in your time of need. And my brother and sister, there will be many times of need. Many times when you feel your weakness, many times when you feel that you're under Satan's awful attacks. And in our society today, what assaults against the mind and the heart of the Christian. In media, in the workplace, just as our Lord dwelt among blasphemous men, wicked people, we live amongst such people. But we must go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord told us to watch and pray. And as we go to prayer and trust in the Lord and seek him, we can know forgiveness if we fall to sin. And we can know grace to make us strong and victorious over sin. And so I ask the question, does Jesus care? Does Jesus care? And the hymn says, oh yes, I know he cares. And that's the burden of my heart today. Now, it would be wrong for us to checkmark these truths of the high priestly ministry, the sympathy of our Lord Jesus, his tenderness to the needs of his people, and yet not go to him in prayer. Your prayer life will reflect how much you really enjoy the sympathy of Christ. If you had someone that you knew you could run to in any situation, but didn't run to him, what would that tell you? There's a conflict between what you profess and what you practice. So, Christian, take heed to verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us enter in and let us plead for the Lord in prayer. Now, there might be someone here today and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you're not born again, and you're wondering, will the Lord show the same mercy to me as to his people? Yes, he will. If you come with your burden of sin, he is sympathetic. He will save. He is gracious. He will not drive you away. He is the good shepherd. If he has given his life for his sheep, he'll take you in. Will you come to him? Will you believe in him? Trust in him? I invite you to look unto the Lord Jesus. And my prayer for this service, this message today, is that every one of us will just get our eyes on the Lord again, to enjoy him, to know the comfort that he brings to our hearts, and that we don't walk through this world in loneliness, in emptiness, without that full enjoyment of our great High Priest. May He come and minister to your heart more and more.
Want to recommend our church magazine, The Current, and the editorial this issue is on because we are losing free speech. Recently, a Canadian newspaper posted the headline, "We are living in a country where you daren't be anything but gay friendly." Lobbyists for a gender free-for-all have moved from seeking freedom to being left alone, to demanding positive engagement by all. These days, those who don't embrace the full spectrum of gay and transgender life are often silenced. Send for our magazine, The Current, and read the article on Because We Are Losing Our Free Speech. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.